consists of 400 there give fortune tellers. So I don't know if you know what a fortune teller is, but you probably played at some time in your childhood. So I don't know if you remember this game. Sorry, let's just put this on. What colour do you choose? What number do you choose? And then you pull out, and there's a little task.
You've written something in there, a little code, yep.
Yeah, so basically, I cut and fold these, and then I stack them, and I've kind of made all different shapes and forms, doing different levels of stacking. And just one day, I have a very small apartment, so I needed to get them to fit on very small space. So I started stacking them, and they kind of just morphed into a circle, round shape. And then I kind of thought, I was just wondering if I could actually get the two ends to meet. So I kind of fiddled around with it and kind of forced it together. And the interesting thing is that, like, even though this seems like a straight line and there are straight lines in it, I actually have to kind of mould it to kind of get it to all slot into each other. So, and then I have to deconstruct it. So I have to, once I had it, the circle formed, I then had to pull it all apart, and then I glued each individual piece together. And then I had to do that very quickly before the glue dries, because then I have to then manipulate it and mould it back into the circle form. And I have done a black one recently, and there's a few kind of gaps in it that I'm not happy with, so I'm actually going to have to pull it apart and re-glue it. So, yeah, so it's very simple, it's very minimal. I kind of find the whole process quite meditative. It's just, I just sit there and fold these shapes, basically, and then kind of just muck around with it until I find something I'm happy with.
Okay, question to Fiona and her work.
Do you have a preference if you were able to, you have your artwork shown? Do you like it?
I think actually it's better when it's, like, I personally prefer it in this kind of, like, from this kind of look angle. So I would have a black background and having it, but I just haven't figured a way of doing that. But I think I would recommend that it maybe get put into a box frame and actually get framed so it can sit up on the wall.
Yeah. But I did see it go when you put it up.
Yeah, I know. I would have to talk to a framer and just see what could be done, like if it was pinned, or I could maybe reinforce it with extra glue.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I find is so intriguing with this is that there's the contrast between the kind of solidity of it. What's this chunky tire doing here? But then it's actually very, very fragile.
Yes.
As I hope you saw, when Fiona put it up on the whatever, it sort of sagged to try and...
Yeah.
So it's not all glued, it's just on the internal edges, presumably.
Well, so, what I've done is... So I have the ability to move it around a bit. I actually just glue in these corners here, so like in these four corners, so essentially it's just glued in this middle section, so that gives it the flexibility for me.
Another one coming in here, another one coming in here.
Yeah, so they just slot into each other. So really it's only, you know, probably 10 mils of gluing. So, and then sometimes I kind of, every 10 I might make it a little bit more secure, so. But because I need to have, to be able to get it to form that shape, I need to be able to not have it too much glue, because otherwise it just ends up being paper mache.
Yep.
So yeah.
But that point you've made about the fragility and the contrast with it looks so strong and robust sort of probably ties in with the metaphor of the lucky game, because as a child you think you're invincible and everything's set in paper and
sure.
Oh look, I'm going to marry William and we're going to have two kids and a car and my favourite colour's blue. And then you find there's a fragility to life.
Don't get too deep into that.
No, I think there's quite a lot of symbolism.
Well, my original idea was I was doing an installation which I called Reverb, and it was about how decisions reverb through your life, and like how generational decisions reverb through your life. So, for example, my grandmother met my grandfather in the war, and you know, the decisions that they made then led to me and my family being in Australia. And I kind of had all of these fortune tellers, and it's like each one would represent a decision, and decision-making process is ongoing and continuous. And your decisions are affected by your upbringing and decisions of your parents and your grandparents, even down to simple things to geography and, you know, your attitudes towards certain parts of life. So, and I just like the kind of eternal element of it.
Look, I think this is really very intriguing. You were saying you were making it in a relatively... I've talked to people about their studios. How does this stuff happen? But you were talking about a relatively small apartment and a relatively small space, a table you're working on.
Well, my desk is this size. And next to it I have an antique French roll top trunk, like those pirate chests, basically, that's how I describe it. And I literally have all my artwork and my paper and my supplies and my guillotine all in this trunk. In the one trunk. So if it doesn't fit in the trunk, it doesn't go. And I've actually gotten to a point now where I've started pulling stuff out of my kitchen cupboards so I can put the work into my cupboards to store it.
Okay.
So, yeah. And I think that's one of the reasons I work with this medium is because it's very easy to store. It kind of fits in any nook and cranny, and it's very clean. And I don't have to wait for it. You know, like I don't have the luxury of having a nice, smelly, chemically paint to dry for a week because I actually sleep in the space that I work in.
Yeah, so all these things. I'm going to ask Robert. We'll get to Robert, the winner, later on. How big is your studio, Robert? How many square metres?
Oh, this room?
Yeah, 250, 300, whatever. Okay, there you go. So we work with different shapes and different sizes. But for those people who don't work in a studio and are not necessarily artists, that idea of, you know, there's a germ of an idea, sometimes the idea can be there and you're driven towards fulfilling. Alternatively, like in Fiona's case, you know, there's a very sketchy idea. You know, handling the materials and working this way and that way and really being very, very kind of flexible and dynamic and creative can end up in something which is totally foreign. And it's kind of, it's totally foreign to most of our experiences because we don't see these objects, we don't see that surface anywhere.
Well, it's interesting because all the kids reckon it's a donut with feathers. Like any child that's seen it, it's just going, oh, it's a donut with feathers. And I must say, I and I know you shouldn't do this, but I it's really hard not to kind of pat it. Because you kind of just, and if you, I mean, you know, if you do that, the texture of the running your fingers around it is quite,
But interesting. If we say donut with feathers, a kid's interpretation, do you think that adequately describes that? What historical period would donut and feathers refer to? Maybe 1950s. The point I'd make is that somehow looks incredibly contemporary. It looks kind of digital and computer to me. It looks like a very, very avant-garde object as well, just in the kind of nature of it. It's not donuts and feathers, it's...
Well, I suppose it depends on your education and your point of reference. I mean, they associate round things with donuts.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. Fiona, fantastic. Great work. Yeah.
Thank you.